ABC Radio Australia.
The sudden resignation of French Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu was unexpected and surprising. Not only was he France's fifth Prime Minister in 2 years, it came just 14 hours after he announced a new-look cabinet. But in the Pacific, it signals more uncertainty for France's Pacific territories, especially New Caledonia. So joining us to discuss this in details is Australia's former Consul General to New Caledonia, Denise Fisher. Let us say good morning, Denise. Salut. Ça va?
Ça va bien, et vous? Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's been a while, Denise, but welcome back to Pacific Beat. Look, we understand French Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu has come and gone, but what impact will his resignation mean for New Caledonia?
Well, Agnes, you know, as a French territory, of course, its history is determined and politics determined largely by what happens in French politics over the other side of the world. And this is no exception. This is a very big thing, the gridlock in the French government in France. There's no doubt that it adds to the uncertainties, as you've said, even though one could argue that the uncertainties in New Caledonia itself are the deeper problem. But there is no doubt this aggravates a lot of those uncertainties. We know, for example, that Mr. Macron lost his parliamentary majority in 2022. And to clarify the situation, he went to snap elections mid last year. And you might recall that that was really at the height of the disturbances in New Caledonia at the time. But he went to these snap elections, and of course, nothing clarified. It actually complicated things to him further because there was basically a hung parliament. Since then, the French government has been subjected to a number of no-sense motions. Mr. Lecornu was the third prime minister in a year. And he's had a lot of difficulty because of all these different alliances and the different agreements they have to come to even stagger it from one censure motion to another. He took the longest time of any prime minister since 1958 in announcing his cabinet. It took him almost a month. He did that on Saturday, and within 14 hours, as you've said, one of his key ministers resigned, and he felt he himself had to present his resignation to Mr. Macron. So we are now at a very difficult situation in Paris. Mr. Macron has asked Mr. Lecornu very exceptionally. He accepted his resignation, but he's nonetheless asked him to go back and try to cobble together some form of stable government, basically to enable the budget to be passed. He's given him till tomorrow morning to do that. So everybody's kind of waiting. But the key question in everybody's minds is, well, even if he does come up with some magic solution and there is a French government by tomorrow morning, how long will it last before the next, no confidence motion? So that is one option. And then the alternative, of course, if Mr. Lecornu is not able to do that, and no government, viable government is formed, then the big question comes, will there be a dissolution of the National Assembly and fresh parliamentary elections? So these are big, big issues.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, Denise, you know, if we are trying to look, you know, at the next administration dealing with New Caledonia, I think one of the big players would have been or would be Manuel Valls, right? The Minister for Overseas Territories, because he's made multiple visits to New Caledonia this year for negotiations. Do you then think he needs to be part of this next administration?
Well, of course, government is bigger than one individual, as these succession of circumstances shows. Mr. Valls was reappointed by Mr. Lecornu in his cabinet over the weekend. And Mr. Valls, of course, is the author of that agreement for New Caledonia, the Bougival Agreement. So whether or not he's included, the French government is committed to the Bougival Agreement. But the problem is, for New Caledonia, looking at the direct implications for New Caledonia, all of this has meant, of course, delays in the French government's implementation of its own deadlines for implementing the Bougival Agreement. Three of the deadlines have already been expired and delayed, passed in all of this, and these include legislative requirements for postponing the local elections in New Caledonia. These are long overdue. There is no real legislative basis for the current Congress. The election should have been held in May last year. They were finally deferred a second time till November this year. And of course, that's getting very close. So if the legislative basis is not passed, what will happen there? Postponing those elections is critical to the overall. It's one of the major pieces of the puzzle of the agreement, the Bougival agreement. And secondly, the legislative requirements for proceeding to a referendum in February have slipped. So there are big questions. But what is even worse, I think, and even more difficult is accepting that within New Caledonia itself, the divisions are really deepening. We've seen in the last month alone a deepening and widening of opposition to the Bougival agreement itself, this basis of a compromise for the future. The hardline FLNKS coalition, the Independence coalition, have rejected it, and now all of their leaders have withdrawn their signatures formally from the Bougival Accord they initialed in Paris. At the same time, you've got a widening. You've got the Kanak unions, the Kanak Protestant Church, the Senar Kutumier, the organization that represents all the Kanak chiefs. They've all come out against the Bougival agreement. And even the loyalists are starting to say, well, we can't really move forward with this without the FLNKS. You know, I think there's a realization even amongst the pro-France people that on the ground, how do you implement an agreement if a major part of the independence and Kanak-led independence are not for it? Mm. So all these uncertainties have been aggravated by what's happening in Paris.
Do you think then, Denise, because it just sounds like there's sort of a bit of a mixed support then for the agreement, do you think then it will survive a change of prime ministers?
I think definitely looking at it from a Paris viewpoint, absolutely. Because the main pressure on Mr. Macron is from the ultra-right, the nationalists. These are people who do not want the loss of any French territory at all. Madame Le Pen, the leader of the hardline right group, has already said that she doesn't like Bougival, the Bougival agreement, that it's too generous and it has implications for other territories. On the one hand, there is no disposition for moving towards greater autonomies or generosity towards New Caledonia. But on the other, there is no option. This is the agreement that was managed to be negotiated throughout all France's difficulties of the last few months. Because don't forget, these no confidence motions have been going on for a year now. I think that the Bougival agreement, it's an open question. Why is it an open question? Really is because the French government is so much up in air. We just do not know what's going to happen. And so until that's resolved, I think we just have to assume that there's a great question mark over the future.
Well, I suppose one important thing, many are waiting for is that tabling of the 2026 budget right in Paris. I mean, what does any delay to the budget mean for New Caledonia, though?
Well, as we know, after the destruction and the violence of last year, there has been a huge need for reconstruction and for consolidation of the budget. One of the elements or the critical elements of the Bougival agreement were the funding promises of France, a new financial backing, economic plan, new investment in the nickel industry, the resource that is the mainstay of the New Caledonian economy, all of that is now open to question. It has very serious ramifications for the finances of the territory. Big question marks. And Mr. Macron, I think you saw that image of him on the perhaps walking along the Seine on his own, a very poignant image as he was reflecting on how to deal with these issues.
Just finally, Denise, I know you mentioned a little bit before about FLNKS, but how are really pro-independent groups and the loyalists reacting to this political upheaval in Paris?
New Caledonia is part of France, the major parties in New Caledonia, the local parties, all have affiliations, particularly the loyalist ones, affiliations with the national political parties. So a lot of their positions, for example, there's positions of the various loyalist parties, will be determined by their links, whichever party they're linked with in the National Assembly back in Paris. So there is a complex network of alliances at work there. The independence groups, of course, are fresh to Paris. You know, Mr. Chabal, one of the FLNKS leaders, was only elected in those elections, those national elections in June last year. So he himself has direct influence in the sense that he's already a parliamentarian in Paris. But all of that, of course, is open to question if there is a dissolution of the National Assembly and everyone goes back to the polls.
Denise, always great to catch up with you. Thank you for unpacking a lot of that. And there is still a lot to unpack, but we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks a lot, Aggie. Bye-bye.
Bye. That is Australia's formal Consul General to New Caledonia, Denise Fisher speaking there.